Wonderful take from Harrison. Wonderful dive, leaping to his right to take the catch off his own bowling.
And Everson's got a five for Stephen Mullaney's first to him. And Stuart Broad not far behind.
This is the talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman, and I'm joined this week by two young outlaws who've made quite the impression on their rise to the first team. Calvin Harrison and Joey Everson dropped into the home dressing room, with Harrison discussing how he settled into life at Notts last summer.
After those first few games, I was quite nervous. Even still, those first couple of games went really well, but it was probably only even a couple of games in where I really started to properly relax and have the confidence to try and dominate.
Everson shared how surreal it felt to be bowling alongside an all-time great in Stuart Broad.
You try not to think about it, but when he's passing you the ball to you, when he's at mid-on and he's just telling you how to bowl and stuff and what balls are going to be effective to each batter, you do have to pinch yourself.
And this week's surprise phone call doesn't quite go to plan.
Oh. This WhatsApp FaceTime, is it?
Oh, they put it down.
I bet this has never happened before on the talk of Trent Bridge. That's a stinker.
But first, the duo look back at some memorable moments from the season gone by.
We'll take a look forward. We'll think about the season to come and what's happened this winter as we sort of go through the next 20 minutes or so. But we want to take a look back as well at some of the big moments of what was a pretty successful summer across the formats for Notts out there. So there's a couple of clips from games that one of you, I think, played in each of these two games. So you'd have been out in the thick of it, in the action, and not hearing the Trent Bridge live stream describing those moments in all their glory. So can you work out exactly which moments these were? Start with this first one.
Next delivery is the end. Gets a five for Scrimshaw, saying he didn't hit it. Stood there holding his arm out, but Schadendorf has taken the catch.
Do you remember which one it was? You were on the field for this. I
was on the field for it. It was the win at home, wasn't it?
Yeah,
quite convincing win in the end, but yeah, I do remember that one very well.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking back at the scorecard earlier on. It went from 100 for 5 at tee, which was like about 20 past 4, to by 5 o'clock, game over, game done. What was that last half hour in particular like to be a part of out there?
No, it was really good to get the last couple of wickets, because it was quite a big win for us in the season to get us pushing up the leaderboard. Because that was before we'd got into the highest conference. So it was quite a big win for us. But the last session, in fact, was just incredible. All the bowlers were working really hard to get those last couple of wickets. It was really good.
And tough people in as well. I mean, it's been a little while since supporters were in. They'd had a couple of games before that, which you'd won at home in front of them. But then to beat Derby inside 3 days in that fashion must have created a bit of a stir out there.
Yeah, definitely. To have more of a crowd in this year was really exciting for myself, because it's my first proper season of playing with crowds in. Especially in the local derby against Derby, I was really happy to be involved in it.
What more is there to say as well about Luke Fletcher's season? I mean, taking the wicket there to get a five for 66 wickets, more Player of the Season awards than I can remember. What was he like to watch out there?
No, Fletcher's season was outstanding. I remember him saying that was the first time he's got over 50 wickets in a season. So to get 66 is just outstanding, really. For a man of his calibre, he's just had a great, great year, and hopefully we can have him for many more years to come.
What can you sort of take from being out there with him, sharing a dressing room with him?
Well, when I'm bowling, he's always standing at mid-on and mid-off, so he's offering me plenty of advice. But in the dressing room, I reckon he's probably one of the funniest guys I've ever met. Just really warming and helps you out whenever he can, especially as a young guy coming into the team. He helps you settle in really nicely.
Yeah, because I suppose there's a chance that can be quite an intimidating place to walk into for your first games. I suppose it was 2019, your debut, and there are big characters in the dressing room. So how much does it help to have someone like that who can ease that?
Yeah, when I came into the team when I was 17, when I made my debut, it was quite nerve-wracking. When I played my first game against Warwickshire. But now I've got a little bit older, got a bit more confidence in myself and in my ability. It does help you, and when you've got to know all the other lads, getting to know you better, yeah, it does help you massively.
Now, the second of these two clips was one, Calvin, you were in the team for this one, I think, earlier this summer.
And here's Taylor in and bowls this one.
There it is.
And that's gone for six, and that's 100 for and Dave Bracegirdle.
Incredibly
reserved comment from the Northampton guy there. I mean, the guy's got a six yeah, to get 100.
I was going
to
say, like, it didn't sound like anything too magnificent was happening. It's just 100 in a bloody 2020 game.
At a ridiculous pace as well. Yeah.
Well, that's his third or fourth 100 in T20 blast, so it's pretty standard for him, I reckon.
It just becomes irregular, doesn't it?
I mean, was that your third game, I think, in T20 for Notts?
Would have been in those first few, yeah. It was unbelievable to watch. I mean, the way he carries himself around the pitch and the quality he has, obviously, with the bat is unbelievable. And consistently throughout the season as well, just dominating attacks. So really lucky to have him at the top of the order there.
What was it like to I suppose, come into this dressing room with players of that calibre? You've got people who've won the Blast, that have won T20 leagues around the world and that can do things like that just seemingly on a daily basis. How was that to come into?
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed every minute of those games and the whole season, obviously, from when I joined. So, you can really feel the quality and the confidence in the group and to come into it as a new player in the squad is... you can gain energy and gain confidence yourself from all the players around the changing room. And yeah, I loved every minute of the season and to soak up all of that confidence and everything, obviously, from previous seasons, how well they'd done, and obviously coming off the back of the Blast last year, the year before. It was amazing.
Your own returns got better and better as the tournament went on as well. Was there kind of a moment when you sort of felt you'd arrived as a Notts cricketer in that dressing room?
I definitely relaxed into the season. After those first few games, I was quite nervous. I remember before the before bowling, even on the pitch at Worcester in the first game that I played. But once you bowl that first ball and you kind of settle into the spell and relax, it becomes a lot easier to perform and execute. But even still, those first couple of games went really well, but it was probably only even a couple of games in where I really started to properly relax and have the confidence, the full confidence to properly execute and really try and dominate. And I think that that the season went really well, obviously from our team's point of view, and we had a good campaign. Really happy with how it all went.
And it was quite a rapid rise for you as well, really. I mean, at the start of 2021, before you sort of came and played for those twos games for Notts and those bits as well, what were your sort of aims for this year? Because it seemed to go from uni to a pro deal so quickly.
Yeah, it's obviously been a big goal of mine to make or to get to play professional cricket and to obviously get the contract, which fortunately has come now this season gone. So. But yeah, it's been something that I've been working towards for a long time, and it's through trialling at various places, and then off the back of uni cricket, I wasn't sure what to expect, to be honest. Especially after the couple of the seasons that had been affected by the virus, the winters were very kind of quiet for myself, not being really involved in any system anywhere. It came a bit unexpected, but kind of. Obviously, it was a great opportunity to come out here and play the three-day game that we had pre-season with the MCCU Oxford side. So, I was just thankful to get a good performance out there and then to get the opportunities going forward. So,
we do have a third clip to play, because I don't know if you heard Joey last week's edition of the podcast with Sammy King and James Hayes.
Unfortunately, I did hear that.
We seemed to finish with a pretty kind of damning assessment of your gaming abilities. This is what they had to say last week.
I think Joey's the worst out of all three.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, massive.
Without doubt, there's not even a question about that.
It's not a debate, it's just a fact. Joey, you're not.
He thinks he is, though. Yeah. And we like to let him think he is.
If you ever ask, they do agree with each other quite a lot, don't they?
You might not say it, but he'd consider it, and he might say, I'm not sure, maybe.
No, he is. He'd say that he's the best. Honestly, he would say that FIFA, he'd say he's the best.
I think the last time I played at FIFA, I beat him 7 or 8-0, I think, the last time as well.
Right.
I mean, they can't just say that and you not have the chance to reply, so.
All I'm going to say is, I'm not much of a gamer. I don't play Call of Duty, but so I'm not going to take that away from them. But I don't recall it being 7 or 8-0. But all I'm going to say is about Hazy, is that whenever I go round to the Academy House, all he is, he gets as much practice as Kingy does on PlayStation, I think it is, because he spends that much time in his bedroom whenever I go round. It's always me and Kingy downstairs and Hazy just upstairs on his PlayStation. I was like, yeah, cheers, Hazy. Yeah, I'm not going to take it away from them, but I don't recall it being 7 or 8-0, that's for sure.
You don't tend to forget losing 8-0, so I mean, surely that can't have happened then, can it?
You put the losses in the back of your head and move on to the next game.
That comes with a Facebook apology, doesn't it? Worse than 5-0.
It's been done before. Been done before, definitely, but not that time, no.
I've doled a few Facebook apology out in my time, sadly.
I think I might have done once or twice.
Not the best of it either. But Calvin, your gaming prowess, where would you sort of rank yourself amongst all that?
I'm not the best, to be honest. I've tried playing like Call of Duty and things, but I get too frustrated too quickly because I die so much. So I just, within 5 minutes, I've put the controller down and I turn it off. So, yeah, I try. It's quite nice, actually, to take your mind off things for a bit, but it gets me more angry sometimes than I mean to, so...
Yes, yeah. Not necessarily the world's most relaxing pastime at times. But now, over the last couple of weeks as well, we've managed to get some surprise guests on the podcast. We had Dane Patterson in South Africa. We had Fateh Singh from Sri Lanka, fresh for a day on the beach and holding crabs and having a barbecue or something. It sounded pretty rough out there.
A bit of crabbing.
So do you think there's anyone we could get on this week as a kind of surprise?
I think you said Cunny was in isolation.
Because Cunny's in isolation at the moment. He's just got back from the T10. So
he's got no excuse, hasn't he?
He's bound to pick up.
He's got to pick up, surely.
Yeah. So this is Cunny, our analyst, who's been out in the T10 with, with quite a few outlaws out there in various places.
Yeah, there's been 4 or 5 of them.
Right. Come on, Cunny. Pull through.
Get him on FaceTime, I reckon.
He will definitely answer. You go, my man.
I reckon he'll ring us back if you don't reply.
Come on, boy. What could he possibly be doing? He'll call me back, I reckon.
He's got to, hasn't he?
Should we let it just...
We'll take him. If he rings back, we'll get on to him. I mean, if the man's in isolation, then...
He's probably sleeping, passing time.
Or
coding some videos. I'm going to have a chat with him later, actually, because he wants to go through a few things from last season about with my bowling and a few technical things. And he's so good with all that stuff. He's very
clued up.
Must have
been a really good experience for Cunny, being out in Abu Dhabi. Being around all those great players, learning so much and taking everything back to Nottingham for hopefully next season.
Yeah, because what can that do to you? I suppose you've shared dressing rooms with great players, whether it's here at Notts or elsewhere, and even if it is for a short space of time, a player come over for the blast or for a bit of a championship season, what sort of things can you soak up that quickly?
Yeah, you try and pick their brains as much as you can. So obviously we had Dane Patterson coming this season and he's coming back for next year as well. So for me, as a bowler like him, I just try to get as much information as out of him as I could to help with my bowling. It's really good because he's very experienced now. He's played for South Africa and he's got so much experience. So there's so much things I could take from him and put into my own game, which has helped me a lot, especially this season, that's for sure.
And I suppose, Calvin, there wasn't an overseas presence, if you like, in the T20 side this summer, but you're coming into a team with the likes of Matt Carter. Samit Patel's been doing it since T20 was invented in this country. So how can that help when you're starting out on your season?
Yeah, it's really good for confidence and just to get a few different ideas and perspectives of plans and everything, just different tactics. Like, I mean, Samit will obviously often come up to me, like during, I've seen a few good clips and especially out of that the Derby game where we played away. Just good with giving you confidence and just a few different ideas. Obviously, you don't always have to necessarily execute, but it's nice to get this just a few different opinions and to have that confidence and backing when you get that from the likes of Samit and Matt Carter as well, who had an unbelievable season, obviously, bowling the overs, especially the overs that they do as well in the power play and everything at the death. It's top class.
And especially in white ball cricket, you can see some pretty hefty totals racked up at Trent Bridge as well. How do you deal with that? I suppose the fact that runs may come or the ways you can stem it on quite a small ground.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the half a boundary percentage, and I think we did really, really well consistently throughout the whole competition, actually, to minimise boundaries. And when you've got the likes of Carter going at sixes and under even sometimes in the power play, then it makes the job a lot easier for the rest of the guys through the middle. And I think the guys just have really, really good plans, and obviously playing at home is a good advantage. You know the ground, you know the dynamics, square and straight, and the pockets that you want to be kind of covering a bit more, and where you want to be hit. So it's been a class season last season.
So that was the season just gone. We're obviously sort of getting well into winter training now, and probably one of the more notable things the past couple of weeks, were you both on the James Pipe rambling experience last week?
Yeah,
that was really good.
It looked tougher than I expected it to be, from what I've seen. A rambling experience I expected to be just a small amble around, and then...
Well, the beginning was the most difficult because one of the paths were blocked or flooded or something, so we had to turn around and reroute, and there were a few close calls on the river.
Hannes stacked it over, because we had to climb over a river with... It was quite shallow, but there was rocks to try and get us over. But yeah, I don't know why, but I tried to go over on all fours, didn't I? I was the only one to do that.
Didn't
pat myself.
Is it a better approach?
My shoes got a bit wet, but nothing major.
I tried. There was one loose log. I tried to crawl across it and gave in a little bit, but I saved myself at the end, luckily. But
no, it was a really good day, though. Good team bonding experience. Then we went to a restaurant near Jim's house, have a nice meal there. So yeah, it was a good day, wasn't it?
Sounds like James Pipe in his element, taking you around the peaks and then off to his local pub, really. I mean, that's absolutely perfect. But I suppose as well, as someone who maybe came in mid-season in the end, won't have been too many chances to do something like that away from cricket with the squad. So how big a part can that play?
Definitely. It's really good. I mean, it's a whole, obviously, like team bonding experience, isn't it, to get the guys out of like a cricketing environment, and you can talk all sorts and just relax and... just be in your own headspace away from cricket, which is nice with all the guys, and you get to know the guys and all their different areas of outside cricket as well. So I think it's really good, and hopefully I don't know if we've got anything more lined up. Obviously we've got the Christmas party coming up soon as well, but
a couple of weeks.
Those sorts of things are really good.
Excellent. Now, the last couple of days as well have been trips to Loughborough involved as well with the Vicon thing. I mean, all I know about that is what it's called, basically. I don't really know exactly what goes on down there. So what is Vicon, and what can it bring to you at this point in the training?
Well, I think the Vicon testing, well, they put stickers all over your body and they get you to bowl balls off your full run up. Then it gives you information about how efficient your body is in producing force and power to help you bowl up to 90 mile an hour. But to get us to that stage, it tells you what you need to do to enable yourself to do that. So obviously I want to do that, so the information that I get, me and Shiny will sit down and speak about how we can implement that into our own training schedule plan and do that until we go to the tent, and where we can not really think about much technical stuff and put it into gameplay.
Is this the best time of the winter to be looking at things like that, when you've got those weeks ahead of you still to be honing things?
Yeah, definitely. Particularly in this first patch of the winter, I think it's a really good chance to just experiment and you sort of look back at the season and think of what little areas that you can work on and what you can tweak, and it's a good chance to just... Yeah, like I say, just experiment and try some new things, and this Vicon as well is going to give us a good bit of feedback. I've never used it before, and I'm not sure they really use it much for spinners, from what I hear. But so it'll give really good feedback on one, what, like Joey says there, like what's the most efficient kind of action to produce the best force and rip and fizz as a spinner for myself, but also just to see if the things that we've been working on so far actually help towards producing that. So just to experiment and try new things before kind of we get into it, probably a phase towards now, this back end of the pre-Christmas phase and then into after Christmas, where you kind of want to nail down what you want your game to look like. And then you can focus on getting volume into the action that you want, and in terms of betting and in terms of the things you're working on there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how big a role do you sort of put on that kind of stuff, the kind of stats or the analysis that comes out of that? Because I suppose there'll be things you'll feel that you're doing right if you're just doing something in the nets, but how important is it to be able to back that up?
Yeah, so stats, like, in the meeting before we started training, me and the coaches sat down, or everyone sat down with coaches, and they gave you stats and what you can improve on. So there's more stats in T20 cricket, white ball cricket, so it's about boundary percentage and dot ball percentage. So that's really what I've been working on. Definitely the boundary percentage and dot ball percentage, just reducing the dot balls that I face. So yeah, this passage of this phase of training, I've just been exploring what different shots I can bring into my T20 game to help me reduce the number of dot balls to try and hit different pockets in the field. But yeah, this winter I've been really enjoying it this last couple of weeks, and hopefully we can carry on that over into the new year.
Yeah, cause it feels like it's a while away, but I suppose you're only a couple of decent sized blocks of training away from being back out there next April time.
Yeah, it comes quickly. Well, it's going to be Christmas soon, obviously, and then all of a sudden it's coming through that first phase. It's February, then you're thinking about your pre-season games and things. So, yeah, it's while you've got a lot of time to experiment things, it's quite important that you make sure you are obviously putting in all the work and you're taking out as much as you can from each session. Like, every session now is just as important as every session leading up to closer into the season. So, yeah.
And when you look back over the last sort of year, I suppose, we spoke about a couple of the big moments earlier on, and all the success that was had out there. What is, Joey First, your one standout moment, do you think, from Nottinghamshire's 2021?
I think it was definitely coming, was it third or fourth in the third in the county championship? Because last couple of years have been quite tough, but to get that first win against Derby, I wasn't playing in it, but to get us over the line in that Derby game gave us real momentum to push on in that competition, definitely. So that whole competition was a real success. Hopefully we can carry on that next year as well.
Yeah, is that momentum something you felt in the games going on? Because was it Essex, I think, pretty soon after that here? And with the champions coming, was there something from that win at Derby that you think helped the squad as a whole?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big believer in momentum, and when you get those first couple of wins in a season early on as well, it does give you and the team a massive boost going into the next couple of games. And that win against Essex, who have been massive competitors in the last couple of county championships, or Bob Willis's, it gives everyone a massive boost of confidence.
And all that over your own kind of personal accolade of a 5-4 at Durham. Is that a little bit further down the list than what the team managed to achieve?
Well, yeah, it's individual success is always nice, but it's always about the team. But at Durham, yeah, that was one of my proudest days for myself and the family. It all came around so quickly because I didn't know if I was going to even play in that game. But when I got the nod, I knew I had the coaches had confidence in me to go and perform well, both bat and ball. But yeah, to get that fifer in that one spell was really pleasing. To be bowling at the other end with Stuart, it was quite surreal, actually. That was a really good week.
Yeah, it's got to be a pinch yourself moment, hasn't it?
It was. Yeah, you try not to think about it, but when he's passing you the ball to you when he's at mid-on and he's just telling you how to bowl and stuff and what balls are going to be effective to each batter, you do have to pinch yourself. And the amount of success that he's had in the game, it's really inspiring.
And Calvin, whirlwind summer for you. Is there a moment out there that stands out?
A lot of it, I guess. I mean, being able to just go out there and play play cricket with the Notts guys has been unbelievable throughout the whole season. And I think just to play dominating cricket throughout the whole season, really, throughout the county championship, I mean, the way the guys played that whole comp was really proper, like, dominating cricket. I mean, 4-day wins, like, in 2-3 days, like, consistently as well, not just one off, was really like awesome to watch. And and similar throughout the whole, you know, the group stage of the T20s, like really dominating, dominating teams with bat and ball. So yeah, obviously some really good kind of personal performances throughout that the T20 comp. So really happy with how that went. But yeah, just as a whole side, the dominating cricket we played throughout the whole summer was just a consistent performance kind of achievement for us, I guess.
Yeah, and Joey talked about momentum. Do you think there was something that kind of carried over from those championship wins into the group stage? Because a good core like team would have played across both those formats.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was 12th man at the Derby Championship game. I think it was at my first one. I'd gone from the twos to 12th manning there, and obviously got that first win there. And I think just the whole atmosphere in the changing room and the belief and the confidence and the everything just kind of escalates from that point. And it definitely carried, I think, throughout the season. And when you got the characters and that we have in the changing room, the spirit's always high, and no matter what's happening out on the pitch, you're always lifted back up, and you can be sure we're back out there session after session kind of banging away and still dominating. So
yeah. What was that atmosphere like in the aftermath of the Derby win? Because I suppose you've got to keep winning games. It's got to become sort of a week after week thing to progress in the championship, but to win that game after such a while as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously, I mean, I'd not really been around the group prior to that point, but I mean, you could see the pleasure and the kind of hard fought almost feeling coming through, like when you get that final wicket. To win after that kind of patch leading up to that point. I was definitely pretty ecstatic in the changing room after that. An extraordinary feeling for the guys. In the changing room after that, it was really good to be involved in that. Yeah.
Well, plenty of great moments to remember from last year. I can't believe Connie's not ringing back.
I know. I can't think of what he could be doing.
Absolutely disgraceful. I'm wondering, should we leave him a voicemail? Should we give him one more go and tell him he's...
I'll say try FaceTime.
Is he more likely to answer FaceTime?
I'm not sure, to be honest. We'll see.
I don't know what he could be doing.
Oh, got a missed call from Mordy.
That's not good, is it?
That was like an hour ago. I wonder what that was from. FaceTime. Where do you FaceTime on this thing?
There we go. Is this WhatsApp FaceTime, is it?
Oh, he put it down.
Oh, well, I mean, there's not answering, and there's just...
Never happened before on the Talk of Trent Bridge.
They always ring back. Even if they don't answer, they always ring back.
That's a stinker.
Yeah, well, there you go. Busy time isolating.
He'll be named and shamed for his isolation. And now I'll have to get him on to explain why he's not answering the phone as well, and on it rumbles. But... well, we didn't get that, but we got everything else. So thank you very much for both popping in to join us.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with another Talk of Trent Bridge soon.